Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a... Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Blog Talk Radio.
Can make your hands clap. Hey everybody, it's Speedway Anywhere, your all-inclusive motorsports and stick and ball sports blogcast at blogtalkradio.com/speedwayanywhere. Hey, last week we had a little meltdown, my own fault. I tried to edit last week's show on Thursday, and somehow or another, I deleted it. So I did put up a little snippet, a little review of the show. It's available on the Speedway Anywhere site, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Twig and Rich, after 15 on the hour, as well as guests. Talladega, another win for Penske at Dega. Logano's third one there. And Kurt Busch finally broke into the top five. Third place was Chase Elliott, Harvick, the number four and fourth, and then Stenhouse Jr. pulled off the top five. Points currently stand at Kyle Busch, Joey Logano, Kevin Harvick, Bowyer, and then Kurt Busch, believe it or not. That puts three Stewart Haas cars in the top five. Harvick would actually lead the points if not for early season penalties. The Xfinity Series, another breakthrough win at Dega. Spencer Gallagher wins his first. Second was Brandon Jones. Justin Allgaier in third. Gregson finished in fourth. And our points leader, Elliott Sadler, took fifth. Current points, Sadler, Tyler Reddick, Justin Allgaier, Christopher Bell, and Cole Custer. Truck Series is going to return at Dover coming up Friday on the 4th. Johnny Sauter obviously still leads points as they've been on hiatus since Martinsville. I have some not-so-good news. We lost James Hilton. For those familiar or unfamiliar, Hilton, of course, was a two-time Cup winner. He died at 83 years old. He posted victories at Richmond in 1970 and Talladega in 72. He also won Rookie of the Year honors in 1966. He had a long-standing racing career in the ARCA series. He last competed in 2013 at the age of 79. The last race that he went out to qualify for in the Cup Series was in 2007 at Daytona. He didn't make the field, but he was still chasing after his Cup dreams at that point. As the news goes, they're returning after Friday's ARCA race early in the morning around 6 a.m. They're involved in an accident on Interstate 85, returning home. Just an all-around nice guy. He wasn't going to do anything else with his life. He decided he's going to race, and that's it. Otherwise, he'd go live in a gutter, rest stop at whatever. Usually, racers give up long before 79. I remember when him and Dave Marcus were kidding around down on pit road about being the only septuagenarians that would actually be racing in the Cup Series for forever and years to come. On a more positive note, first 40-car field in the Cup Series since Daytona. Most have been 37. Bristol had 39. Richmond had 38. Atlanta, smallest one, at 36. And then Martinsville, of course, had 38. And this does beg the question about NASCAR's franchising and charter program that they got going on right now. There's, in case anyone's not familiar with that, basically there are 36 cars with a guaranteed starting spot. It was put in place to guarantee spots for the teams that go out there on a regular basis. Now, this didn't quite work because Joe Gibbs Racing expanded to 4 cars. I'll get it right one of these days. When he brought Carl Edwards over from Roush Racing, he added a 4th car. That 4th car did not qualify as a charter car, so it had to make the field by speed, time, qualifying. That didn't hurt Edwards at all. I do, however, wonder if all this Mickey Mouse stuff they got going on as far as charters and the fields being short and all that wasn't the reason that Edwards decided, you know what, I need to step aside for a while. Just like last week's big news, Matt Kenseth being a Joe Gibbs Racing driver, he, of course, came out of retirement and will return to his old team, Roush Racing, on May 12th, Saturday night race at Kansas Speedway. Here's another thing about the franchising and charter program. Team BK, when the charter program went into place, was awarded 2 franchises. Team BK is now bankrupt. So what that means is that his charters were put in place to a trustee, and I just found out yesterday they actually sold off one of their charters to Front Row Motorsports, which Greg Alding drives. So if a team, I know there's other teams that have leased out their franchise to give some team or driver a chance to go to a speedway knowing he's going to make the field. But this is the reason that the cars aren't going out to take a chance on making the field on speed. Say that you or I went all the way from up here in Minnesota or wherever we are to the corners of California and Florida, spend all that money and aren't going to make the field because there's only 4 open spots to round out the field at 40 above, of course, you know, the guaranteed 36. And now it's rearing its ugly head as far as you know, when a team goes under. Say, take for instance, if you're the Minnesota Vikings, you're on the schedule for next year, you're guaranteed 16 games. What if the team goes bankrupt? Then what do you do? Is Minnesota Vikings put into a trustee, and that trustee has to keep the team morale up or put a new team together or something to that effect to be, you know, an NFL franchise? That would never happen, but it has happened at this point with NASCAR doing it. NASCAR can revoke a team's charter, but has shown little indication that it's going to do that with the BK Racing that's in trustee at this point. That has yet to be seen. It's going to be interesting to see if this happens to others. Ford made a big announcement. Ford is going down to just 1 model of an actual passenger car. They'll be keeping the Mustang and then, of course, building SUVs and vans and I don't even know about the vans, but trucks. Interesting news on top of that is that Kansas is going back to a Ford at Roush after driving Ford Toyota. I think the Mustang will last in NASCAR, but it would be a damn shame if it just ended up being Toyota and Chevy. This Ford deal is not going to last that long. I know that they just reintroduced the Fiesta to compete with the Toyota and Honda and Chevy little hatchback cars. Of course, Ford does still have the Camping World Truck Series with the F-150. So that's not going anywhere. Arca, Arca, Arca. There's my best Brady Bunch impression. Over 60 years, beginning with NASCAR's Bill French Sr. and Arca's John Morgan, NASCAR is acquiring Arca. The details aren't out there at all, because the deal is going to go down in 2020. It'll be business as usual for the next 1.5 years with Arca. Elko opens May 19th with the usual series. Saturday, July 14th, the Arca series will be appearing at Elko. NHRA news, Steve Torrence took top field, Cruz Pedregon in funny car, Erica Anders in pro stock, and Jerry Savoy in pro stock motorcycle. You know, I got to say, in the NHRA, that is where the female drivers are having their success. You look at the Force daughters, you look, I think Ron Capps or Prudhomme or somebody else had a daughter in it. And then, of course, Erica Anders is currently sitting third in pro stock points. There's been a lot of success in drag racing over the years when you look back at Angel Sealing, Shirley Modowney. So that seems to be the place where girls don't want to go 200 miles per hour. They want to go 350 miles per hour. World of Outlaws, Darren Pittman, wins Friday's main at Devil's Full Speedway in Mesquite, Texas. And Donnie Schatz, our points leader, won Saturday's main. Apparently, he pulled a little dirty move after the leader of the main had ran 25 laps. And then, of course, came out ahead. Once again, like I said, still leading points. IndyCar will be returning on the Enfield Road Course at Indy on May 12th. That's the weekend leading up to Indy 500 qualifying. And, of course, the following weekend will be the Indy 500. That will also be the race that coincides with the same day as the NASCAR race, the biggest one, the Coca-Cola 600. Really looking forward to that. Indy will be Danica Patrick's final race. Rich will be joining us when we come back. We're going to stop to give props to our boys at Preferred Tree Service.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Q at Speedway Anywhere, blogtalkradio.com/Speedway Anywhere, otherwise known as Twig from the Twig and Rich Show. Has the long winter weighed your trees down to the ground? Twig and Rich and Winnie want to take a few seconds to thank Preferred Tree Service, your all-inclusive tree service company. Even when the trees weren't budding, Jamie was removing snow for us. You can call Jamie at 612-363-1503 or visit preferredtreeservice.com. Once again, 612-363-1503, Preferred Tree Service. We're back, and I believe that we have Kurt on the air. How's it going, Kurt?
It's going.
It's going. Hey, anyone else that wants to call in, it's 917-889-2053. Morning Talk Radio during prime time. Unfortunately, Rich can't be on the show tonight. He's out bathing and walking Winnie, or Winnie is walking and bathing Rich. I'm really not sure. I took a page out of my teenagers. Anyone remember tipping cows? You got to tip cows. I decided that since Winnie was being a little bastard, I tipped him like a cow. He's a stubborn horse. Afterwards, he was just lying there with all four tips up in the air this morning, waiting to catch the raindrops in his mouth. It was, you know, it was a Kodak moment, but I lost my Kodak. He got really dirty, so that's why Rich is out there walking him and bathing him, and he got Rich dirty, so now Winnie is bathing Rich. So what's up? What's the latest and greatest? Call in to speak your thoughts. 917-889-2053 on Speedway Anywhere. We'll be on until 8 p.m. Central. So, hey, let's go for some NFL draft. You know how many quarterbacks went in the first round?
Six.
It ended up being five. Rich predicted six. The major networks predicted 10. And then, of course, the Browns pulled Baker Mayfield. Now, if you're a quarterback, you're the first of first round, and somebody like the Browns pulls you, what do you do with that? I mean, you're like, you are the number one quarterback pick going to the absolute worst team. I got some notes on whether. Go for it, Kurt.
He he's better than a few years ago, so can't do any worse. And Mr. Manziel.
Yeah, I've been hearing a lot of stuff about him. Now, this leads me to a note that I made and we spoke of during prep. Do you, looking back, I mean, okay, who was the second worst team?
This year or all time or?
Well, on the 0-1-6 of Cleveland's last year, who came in second worst to them?
Oh, God.
Wasn't it another Ohio team?
Oh, yeah.
Didn't the
Cincinnati.
Bengals tank it up?
Yeah, but I would still. Yeah, they just finished last year without even playing. That's basically what they did.
See, and that brings me to the point of sandbagging, trying to get a better draft pick. I mean, when you're 12 games into the frickin' season, do you even bother? You know, I mean, just wait until, of course, they had no one to free agent because everyone sucked. But, so just get your draft picks, restructure, and go from there. So that always makes me wonder as far as the teams that do sandbag once they realize they got nothing to gain, not a chance at the playoffs, their ticket sales suck. The only one bringing people into the stands is because the Minnesota Vikings were going there, or maybe Brady was going there. I've always been curious about that.
Well, I've always thought the NFL, when it comes to just tanking it for the rest of the year to get the number one pick, they should do a lottery. Now, they should do kind of what the reverse thing, though, that the NBA does. You know, they take the 10 worst teams, and the worst team gets the most lottery balls, and so they got the best chance of getting it. Where the NFL should take the 10 worst teams, but, however, you give the best of those 10 worst teams the most lottery balls, so they got the chance. So the more you win, the more balls you get, and your chances go up.
It's kind of like inverting the All-Star race at Charlotte.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of like that.
Speaking about inverted horsepower, yeah, like I said, Winnie, four tips up in the air, catch some raindrops in his mouth. It was great. Now, Vikings pick a college basketball player. Not that he was a college basketball player at the end, Tyler Conklin, but he began playing as a basketball player and then moved to Central Michigan. and then became another one of our draft picks. I'm not even sure what position he plays. Probably another cornerback. It seemed like all there was a cornerback. I want my cornerback. He went later than our guy Hughes, of course, but he's a multitasker. He's a basketball player and a football player. And hey, you know, Bo knows baseball. Bo knows hockey. Bo don't know whatever that commercial was. So if it worked for Bo Jackson, maybe it's going to work for Hughes. Or, Conklin. NFL.com says they give the Vikings an A-minus for their draft picks. What would you give it?
I give it more of a C-plus or a B-minus.
US Today Sports came in and said that they give the Vikings draft picks a C-minus. So that's quite a contrast when you consider NFL.com versus US Today Sports. The Vikings picked up Trey Wayne's fifth-year option for $9 million, another cornerback. And that's after they picked up Hughes.
I don't know if he's $9 million worth, but he's not bad. They had to get him again, though. He's good.
How's McKenzie been?
Well, I haven't heard a lot about him, but listening to everybody's favorite guy, Paul Allen, talk about him once in a while, but... Heard Wayne's name a lot more.
Yeah, I picked up on a lot of KA Fan Talk and the overnight stuff on NBC Sports, the overnight stuff on FS Sports, and all on radio. And there's a lot of talk that when the Vikings picked up Hughes, it was kind of a warning session to get McKenzie to step it up or, you know, shape up kind of thing. Because now, okay, we picked up a cornerback and so did everyone and their brother and sister in the draft. A lot of linemen, too, both on the defense and offense. But to pick up Hughes and then all the speculation, Zimmer just kind of dodged it. He was really coy. He was just like, no, we're going to have him. We're actually going to have McKenzie take him under his wing and show him how it works with the Vikings. Well, that's a great little media release. I'm not buying a word of it.
Well, how do you think kicker's name? God, I can't think of it now. How do you think he feels? They drafted
play?
A kicker. Yeah, and they draft a kicker, and you know, I don't have a problem with kickers being picked in the draft, because we didn't have a problem with field goals, we had a problem with extra points, and that does make a difference, especially with a very good defense.
You know, I got to laugh when it comes to kickers. It's been really amusing over the years. Remember Jerry Burns?
Oh yeah.
He couldn't say Don's last name. He said Don Igwib, Don Bakeway, Don the kicker.
Yep. Oh yeah.
And then we came up on the Blair Walsh project. Kickers have been amusing when it comes to Vikings history. They really have.
Well, they've had one of the best.
Go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just going to say they had Juan Stenerud for a few years, and he's in the Hall of Fame, but that's, you know.
Man, they take a lot of the brunt in the playoffs.
Huh.
I mean, when you look at Anderson, that deal, I mean, those missed three-pointers and what game changers they've been. You know, I don't really pay it much attention to the other teams, but being that when I'm a bandwagon jumper, when the band's playing, I'm a fair weather fan. I do things like that. And you know what? I'm not ashamed of it. I do notice it when it's the Vikings. I don't know how many other teams go through that.
Well, every team goes through that now. Football, though, it's just more popular than baseball and that, though. But baseball, that can get bad. But I got to admit, you know, with that, though, in 87 and 91, people did admit to me, though, that they were fair-weather fans. I wasn't. I saw them terrible Twins teams. But that actually made them kind of fun last year, though, going into a wild card. Speaking of fair weather fans, I don't think there was too much fair weatherness in that wild card game. And I just think it made it kind of fun, made it a lot funner. But football, I don't think when it comes to football there are that many fair weather fans, but a good football team, though, you get a little bit more excitement. You know, and the Gopher football program, though, when they're having a fun year, it's very more people get into them. When they're having a bad year, not really. Nobody's there. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's I hear so many people in Minnesota that are on the fence about college teams. You know, obviously the biggest excitement is Lindsay right now as far as women's basketball. I remember when I was a preteen and I was all over Gopher hockey, which, you know, was a pretty big deal at that time, and they did not suck. And matter of fact, the rivalries were extreme between North Dakota and the Gophers, between the Badgers and the Gophers, and those stands were off the hook. I couldn't wait for some out-of-league, whatever, unsanctioned-league game to go on because it was so much more comfortable in the arena. It really was. Holy crap, though. I mean, as far as parking and all that, there wasn't anything when North Dakota and Badgers were in town. Hey, Kurt, I'm not yet. I still got about 3 minutes. I know I got this commercial thing I have to do nowadays. It's great. I'm my own engineer. It sucks. Where were we? We were on the Hughes deal and the McKenzie deal and all the cornerbacks that got drafted. Hey, by the way, everybody, remember you can weigh in on the Twig and Rich show, even though Rich ain't here. I got my co-host, Kurt. It's just morning talk during primetime, 917-889-2053. We're going to be talking some Twins coming up here. most people think there's much to report about the Twins, but it depends upon which side of the tracks you're talking. It's been rather amusing. We're going to hit that when we come back.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, it's Q at Speedway Anywhere, blogtalkradio.com/SpeedwayAnywhere, otherwise known as Twig from the Twig and Rich Show. As the long winter weighed your trees down to the ground, Twig and Rich and Winnie want to take a few seconds to thank Preferred Tree Service, your all-inclusive tree service company. Even when the trees weren't budding, Jamie was removing snow for us. You can call Jamie at 612-363-1503 or visit preferredtreeservice.com. Once again, 612-363-1503, Preferred Tree Service. All right. We're going to bring in the Twins talk here.
Imagine those outtakes.
And then Sano goes and hurts himself during batting practice today. I mean, can it go anywhere but cartoon land for once? I mean, obviously we had the long losing streak against the Yankees. And then we had the 5-1 lead Friday night. Ended up 15-9. You know those sports blooper reels? I think I've said this a million times already, where they got the Benny Hill theme playing in the background. I was sitting on your guys' couch watching that Twins game, and I was like, oh my God, this is going to make the highlight reels of sports bloopers and wackiest wild sports. What I couldn't believe the overthrows and Escobar going to scoop the ball up in his glove and do a fancy little toss it from his glove and do his right hand, and it went over his shoulder and the ball ended up on the ground, and it was just clown town, man. Total clown town.
I don't mean to make a joke of what's happened in Puerto Rico, but that's what they need. You play somewhere suffering from a hurricane, you go 500. You return back to a place after a blizzard, you never win again. So maybe they need a hurricane or a power outage.
Something. And, you know...
Or an act of God. Just to get that pitching staff back to where it was. That's another thing, though, I really, really hate, though, about the Twinkies. When that pitching staff starts off all good, great pitching. 2 games later, it's terrible again. And the worst pitching ever, but though, as long as Ricky Nolasco is not there, I don't think their pitching's as bad as people think.
You know, there was a reference on Barrero earlier, something about a Yankees picture. Yes, a picture. To us, it was just a picture because it didn't do us any good. There was a pitcher, I believe his last name was Hale. That was
really
from the Yankees? Yes. And apparently beat us up really bad either last year or something like that. And then we got him, and now he just decided, I don't want to play for the Twins. But speaking of Hale, we have Kale. He was like the only saving grace on Friday night after the Benny Hill show. He came in, he stopped the bleeding. It was his first game with the Twins. I don't know if it was his first professional game. I kind of missed the details on that. And, of course, you know, I've been looking up a ton of stuff today, being that I get face to fill because I lost my co-host. Speaking of co-host, Richard attended the Saturday game. It's that damn horse's fault.
That's right.
Rich attended the Saturday game. I don't want to piss off Winnie. Rich attended the Saturday Twins game that broke the pain in the winless. I call it losing streak. I know that all the politically correct reporters and media and everyone wants to call it winless. Well, Christ. I liked it when Clint Boyer jumped on the camera at Martinsville and the reporters, after he is 190 races winless, they said, 190 races without a win. He's like, screw all that. That's 190 race losing streak. They might as well call it what it is.
Well, how you like to be I got to interrupt a minute. How would you like to be Johnny Benson, though? You know, on how he got some help in his first ever victory. I would have taken it. It was cool to see him win, but And I don't know what had happened the previous week. I can't remember, but because basically he more or less would have lost the race without that help. But, and I don't remember all the details about that final lap, but just say years without a win, and then he finally got a victory.
I think he only had the one in the Cup Series, though, didn't he?
Yeah, he had the one, and I believe he was with Roush, and of course, Martin. I think, who is he with?
He was in that Valvoline number 10. That was not a Roush.
Yeah.
Car.
Okay.
Do you remember where it was?
Was it at Martinsville?
Rockingham.
It's one of the. Okay, because. Because I knew it wasn't at one of the bigger tracks. I knew it wasn't really a short track, but.
Yeah, Johnny finally broke through. I remember he was pretty much a badass in the ASA series. He's pretty rock solid, and like you always said, he looks like a school teacher driving a stock car.
Yep, and then I remember he had the laser correction surgery, and there were a few people that never recognized him, and all he did was not wear glasses anymore.
Yep, and he did that on, like, RPM Tonight or NASCAR America, something like that. Might have been that Channel 45 show or whatever, Midwest Sports Network.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to finish up on the Twins real quick here. The Twins won 3-1 on Saturday when, you know, our partner Rich went. And then they lost yesterday, 8-2 again against the Red?
Yep.
Yeah. As we speak, they're on the field tonight in that nice balmy weather playing the Jays. They got no excuses. You know, you can tune to the game, but it's the Twins, so it's probably more entertaining here at Speedway America. All right, Winnie's coming in. Winnie, what's going on? I'm wondering if you still hate me, or what do you do to Rich? Rich was out there with you, and I know he's supposed to be taking care of you. Oh, really?
He did the reverse Godfather, meaning he did to the man what the horse, he did to the man what the man was supposed to do to the horse in the Godfather, but he did it the opposite. So, Rich, people play along. You know what I mean.
So, Winnie, since I tipped you, what you're saying is that since I tipped you this morning, you tipped Rich? Oh, God. Oh, this horse just ain't getting it. All right. So
a horse is a horse, of course, of course. A horse is a horse.
I'm afraid that Rich is winning. Winnie and Rich are going to come and tip me over sometime. All they'd have to do is flick me. I'm only an eighth of each of their size. We were going to generally talk about the General Lee last week. Let's bring that up.
You know, who had the dog in the Dukes of Hazzard? Which
was it
cop
Daisy?
Had the...
Oh, the...
No, it was one of the cops.
Wasn't it Boss and Roscoe?
It was, maybe Enos had the dog. It was one of the cops that had the dog, like a bloodhound, or I can't remember now.
Okay.
Yeah, when you mentioned General Lee, because I was actually thinking about that a few nights ago, just thinking about Dukes of Hazzard, and which one had the dog? I cannot remember. Couldn't remember, you know, and because just the dog did nothing but, though, because I remember as a kid, I thought the dog was my favorite character.
There was no windows in the General Lee. That would be dangerous for a dog.
Oh, yeah, it wasn't. No, it was not. The Dukes didn't have the dog. It was one of the cops.
So what was the reference to the Confederate flag and the old one and the General Lee? And...
Oh, I totally forgot about that. But I was going to mention my buddy Brad, though, going by Talladega as a truck driver. He told me, everybody asks him, can you see the flag? And everybody, he knew exactly what flag they were talking about. But Brad told me, though, you know, that's the only Confederate flag he noticed. And going through the South, going through Louisiana and that, which, yeah, it was only on that track, but then just mentioned Talladega. You can see it from miles and miles and miles and miles away.
Oh,
I can't remember if he said, you can see the pavement from miles and miles away, but you know it's that track.
Interesting. Let's see. I got something here. I don't even know what it is. Tell you what, we're going to cut to a quick credit, and then when I come back, I'm going to read this message I got, because right now I don't even know how to read it. I've never used this before. This is kind of, obviously we have a listener. That's great.
Hey!
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, it's Q at Speedway Anywhere, blogtalkradio.com/SpeedwayAnywhere, otherwise known as Twig from the Twig and Rich Show. Has the long winter weighed your trees down to the ground? Twig and Rich and Winnie want to take a few seconds to thank Preferred Tree Service, your all-inclusive tree service company. Even when the trees weren't budding, Jamie was removing snow for us. You can call Jamie at 612-363-1503. Or visit preferredtreeservice.com. Once again, 612-363-1503. Preferred Tree Service.
Is this Moby?
No, actually, it's some random DJ that.
No, I can't hear that.
It's from,
rock, body rock.
It's freestyle.
No, yeah, I know, but just any time I hear anything electronic, no. Everybody knows who Moby is, though. It's funny.
It works for me. Hey,
yeah.
So I've been digging through this. This is the first time I've seen this alert come up on the production screen, the switchboard screen. We have a chat message coming in. I've never used this. I'm scrolling through it. I have a feeling I know who this is.
Those are words.
Those are words. I have a feeling I know who this is, but... They are calling him or herself Captain Obvious. I think Captain Obvious needs a more unique name, but let's roll with it. That's what we do on Auto Racing News. You know, we just roll. Obvious states, losing Buxton and Santana is a crippler in more ways than just Buxton's foot by him not playing. Also, the lack of momentum due to weather and travel to San Juan has broke up the promising start to the season. I get that. I really do. But multiple teams have been up against the same obstacles and walls. And what are we going to do? Say that Cincinnati is actually a great team. It's just the weather sucked in Ohio. This lacks logic. Look at the Pirates. I mean, Pittsburgh had snow. Look at the Brewers. They got snow. Look at the Mariners. They went through it. Are we going to blame Ohio weather for the red season opening struggles? We lost our stride playing against the same as half the MLB. So let's not go and pat the Twins on the back just because the weather sucked and they had some long travel days and a lot of broken momentum by not playing. I wonder if Captain Obvious knows about Sano getting hurt tonight.
Well, that roster got a little bit thinner. Thank you.
Yeah. But batting practice, I mean, what is up? The Vikings are losing players in practice. When you look at, let's take it back to NASCAR. We can do that. There's reasons that the owners don't want their drivers driving in other divisions because all of a sudden somebody's injured and out of. Look at Tony Stewart. Look at Kyle Busch when he busted his leg driving for his own team in the Busch Series at Daytona. Of course, he came back and won the championship because NASCAR made all kinds of exceptions to the rule that to be chase qualified, you need to run the entire season. But whatever.
I mean, Artie Leyendyke raced after AJ Foyt tried to rip off his ear.
Well, I don't think Artie Leyendyke heard anything anyone was saying in the first place, but that's okay. So how did his kid fare in the Bachelor?
I think he finished fourth. No.
In the Bachelor.
No. I know, that's what I'm saying. I know he's not allowed in Minnesota.
Nowhere near Lake Calhoun. Or wherever she lived. Was it Lake Minnetonka? I'm not even sure. But yeah, call us, Captain Obvious, 917-889-2053. I'd like to toss the ball back and forth with you about this. That'd be awesome. Again, Speedway Anywhere, 917-889-2053. Morning talk in the prime time. We're knocking on the door of what? 10-ish minutes, maybe 11 and a half. So, you were talking about Churchill Downs, Kentucky, the whole nine yards, or however many yards the track is. It's official. Bronx Horse will not be running. Been dropped from entry. I have no idea what the details are, and they don't seem to share a lot of news amongst each other in horse racing, but he was, or she, I don't even know, was slated to run at Churchill Downs for the first of the Triple Crown when they race at Kentucky Derby. I would have better details if I had a secretary or a secretary idiot, or I was going to say secretidiot, but that sounds sexist. Let's go rapid fire. Ready?
Yeah.
Vikings worst draft pick ever.
Troy Williamson.
And you said that was what year?
I believe it was 2007 or 2008.
Okay. How long did he stick with us, or didn't he even show up?
Oh, he showed up. He showed up too much, though. Williamson was here for, I think, like 2 years. Probably more, though.
What do you think the percentage is that Cousins is going to be like every freaking quarterback we've ever had and get injured right away?
50-50.
50-50? What about who's the guy that went to the Browns?
Mayfield?
Yes, Baker Mayfield. What do you think his chances are of getting mauled? And
I think he's going to have a okay rookie season. I don't think he's going to be a breakout, though, but I think he's going to finish the year.
My concern on that point is that he doesn't exactly have the best set of players to protect him. Or he's going to be like Sanoa and hurt himself during practice. Who knows?
Well, it is the Browns. What do they have to lose? And they could use them an awful lot, though, too. So that could be good, or else it's going to increase his chances. But I still think he's going to finish a year, and I'm going by most of these things. Most of these number one picks, they finish the first year, so I'm just going by that.
Now, let's see. We got 8.5 to go. We're good. I did a little homework. If a player is picked in the NFL draft, does the player have any say in which team they play for? If not, why not? Now, it looks to me like there's all kinds of discretionary stuff. Like, say that you are Mayfield, and you're like, I don't want those freaking Browns. Well, it's going to take a lot of jumping through hoops and lawyers and everything like that if Mayfield has an opportunity somewhere else. Obviously, a lot of players that are chosen later by teams that actually have a little bit of credibility. I forgot to turn off my phone. Damn it.
That's Mayfield.
Yeah, that's Mayfield. That'd be awesome. Mayfield, if you're calling in, you need to dial 917-889-2053. We got about...
Hey, maybe it's Curtis Mayfield beyond the grave. Think about
maybe
that.
Maybe it's Jeremy Mayfield bitching about failing a drug test.
Yeah. You know, well, that would be his call that he gets from the week from prison, so...
Yeah, I
wonder how he earns that quarter.
He may field during the season, or he may not. I know. I'm just, we're getting down to the last 7 minutes, and I'm just kind of like running out of ideas, even though I've still got a long freaking laundry list here. All right, so, anyways, that's my input on the draft cut. All right. Pro wrestling, who's your favorite?
Rowdy Piper. I want to still say the Crusher, but I remember a lot more about Piper, though.
See, I always knew you liked guys in dresses.
That's not a dress, that's a kilt.
Well, it kilt me looking at them.
Well, I liked pipes, bagpipes. Didn't, thank you.
All right. Favorite type of racing, NASCAR, IRL, drag racing, monster trucks, or skiff boats?
I love skiff boats, but one thing, it's always been Elko Speedway Thunder Car Division.
Well, the ones that would lean their passenger front right tire, like, way in. It looked like the wheel was actually coming off, but it was designed that way.
And the one race I saw in my life where I saw a car go airborne. And he walked out of the car.
That was when me and you went out there for the season finales or whatever.
Yep.
In 1997. I remember the whole crowd was like, woo!
And
everyone's worried about it, whether or not the driver was hurt. And the announcer, being the dickhead that he is, he kept saying, If we need you out there, we will come and tap you on the shoulder and bring you out there. He was a dink.
I can't remember.
I like Wally Shaver better.
Yeah, and I can't remember if that was like a 74 or 75 Cutlass. It was the similar style car, though.
God, weren't they
wasn't
all, weren't they all like mid to late 70s Monte Carlos at that time?
Yeah. It was like, it was that time in automobile history, as they say.
All right, we're knocking on the door of 8 o'clock. On Thursday's show, we're going derby crazy.
8 o'clock.
Our buddy Jesse Preston, longtime demolition derby enthusiast and friend of mine, will be talking about beating and banging at the ins and outs and how to break into the circuit. Obviously, Winnie will be talking his predictions for the Kentucky Derby at Churchill Downs coming up Saturday. And I'll be bitching about another derby subject. I never had a derby soapbox derby car that could pass inspection. So I always got shut out. We'll have Rich back if Winnie didn't tip him up too bad, as well as the weekend precap in motorsports as NASCAR heads to Dover with the Camping World Truck Series returning. We're going to lead it out with the theme of the weekend. Thanks a lot, Kurt.
No problem. Thank you. And thank you, listener.
It was the summer before the real world started. Deal was we would get to go if we cleaned it up and got it running. That is old Winnebago. Winging a prayer down a 65 by best friend on four ball ties. I can still see Billy smiling when we finally made it to Talladega. Boys raised a whiskey and gold glass. Now here's the turning. Talladega.